Blog Talk Radio.
What up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. It is Monday. Hopefully, everyone had a fantastic weekend. It was Mother's Day. Hopefully, you got a chance to enjoy the Mother's Day weekend. Spend time with family, friends, if possible your mom, if not, the memory of her. A lot to get into today. It's amazing how much stuff there is to talk about, even though there's not really any sports. But there was the MMA this weekend. So we're going to bring that up and talk about that a little bit today as well. And talk about, was this the blueprint of how to bring sports back? Or did it serve as just the opposite of how it would make it harder for team sports to come back? We will discuss that right here on the Cave Show today with PLR. Also today at 1:10, my main man, CJ Holmes, writer for The Athletic. He covers the Wildcats down at U of A. Much love for this brother, because there's no way I could say that team or that school and that name. But he's my man, so I got to say the whole thing. He'll be on with us at 1:10 today. And you know we're going to talk The Last Dance. Was Mike too mean? Was he too harsh? And listen, let me say this quickly for those of you that are young, have the young ears. If there's something that's quoted, we're quoting it from, not the edited version. So let me get that out early. But we'll do all that right here on the Cave Show with PLR. Like I said, this is PLR. We are brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School and Chandler Heights, 4991 South Alma School to be exact. They are open, so you can go in. The hours are Monday through Saturday. For the time being, Monday through Saturday, you can get in there and check them out. And they are located at 4991 South Alma School, that is in Chandler. Best stick selection you're going to find. You can go in. I've been saying it forever. They're open for business, but now you may enjoy your cigar there. They are practicing safe social distancing. So you can go in and check them out. Enjoy your cigar. They are there for you. Now, if you can't get down there, no worries. Stogie World, S-T-O-A-G-I-E, world.com. You can order your sticks online as well. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. If you get down there, though, let them know PLR sent you, and they will take of your cigar purchase. As I've said, this is the Cave Show with PLR. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And a lot of stuff I really want to get into. Something I did not bring up, and one, you know, also the call-in number is 917-889-7828, 917-889-7828 is the call-in number if you wanted to hop on. I might open the phone lines up, so give a call and see how that goes. And who knows, I may open them up for calls. But there's a couple things that's going on right now. Major League Baseball is trying to get their season going, and I'm setting this up backwards, but they want to get going as soon as possible. Obviously, they're looking at getting the season set to go in July with a schedule that's right around 82 games, right around that part. There's a lot. The owners have agreed with it. The owners are ready to go. They're ready to make it happen. But you got to really stop. Really got to stop and think, okay, how is this going to work? What are the logistics? What can we do to make this happen? And there's a lot that's going to go into this. This isn't a just, okay, let's get ready, let's roll, let's play baseball. There's a lot of stuff to weigh into it. One, remember, Major League Baseball does not have a cap. How are you going to split this money? There's still a pandemic going on. How are they going to get this scheduled? Look, I can tell you now, the Arizona baseball thing, that's not going to work. Good idea. Get everyone down here, play at a few of the stadiums. There's one thing, though, that Arizona has that a lot of stadiums don't have. 1,000-degree heat. And there's only one baseball stadium that plays indoors. That's the home of the Diamondbacks. That's Chase Field. So what you would be doing, what you would have to do, is you'd have to manually rotate teams in. So say there's two games there every day, right? Say there's two games. Say there's a game that starts at 10, and there's a game that starts at 4. And then every other game, every other stadium, the team that starts at 10, listen, let me tell you something. From being from here, if you play at 10, even though you're starting early, you're going to be burnt up by 1 o'clock. Because the days make it legitimately to 115 degrees. So it's going to be hot as hell. If you start at 4, you start in the cooker, and the sun doesn't set here till after 8 o'clock. So unless you're legitimately looking at 6 a.m. baseball games, it wouldn't happen because you'd have to rotate. There'd be no way for every team to play outside, and you give the Diamondbacks the home field advantage of only having to play indoors. There's no way that works. So teams are going to have to start to play in their cities. Problem, not every city is at the same place because of this pandemic that's going on. Not every city will be ready to open up. That's with fans or without fans. There's almost 80,000 deaths right now. 80,000. Obviously, there's more in New York. The whole state of California is basically in a shutdown. Parts of the state of Arizona is opened up. Texas is opening up. Florida is opening up. I know Chicago, they're not as open. So how are you going to get these teams balanced and get these teams playing? They have to discuss, are they going to have 10 or 14 playoff teams? Is it really going to be 82 games? If you're playing in a city like Chicago where the government is not opening up, how do the Cubs and the White Sox get home games, and how is that fair to the Cubs and the White Sox? How is it economically fair to the Cubs and the White Sox? The four letter came up with some very valid points here. Are you going to have a DH? Something that I know we got into on this very show, you can't call people up once the season is going. So are you going to start the season with 30 players, 35, 40, 45? Is your team your team? Will you be able to trade? If you cut someone, will that person be able to be picked up? There's so much that has to go into this. It's not like, let's just wind them up, let's get going, let's play ball. So it makes you really stop and think, how are they going to do this? How are they going to make all of this work? And that when we stop everything and look at it from the ground level, the one important question that everyone is going to say, how does this impact us financially? Because you better believe it will always come down to the bucks. How are we going to get 50 players to come in? If you have, okay, so here's my question. If one player tests positive, are they on the IR automatically for 14 days? Do they not show up for 14 days? If it's the manager, if it's the hitting coach, are they out for 14 days? Will managers then be managing via Zoom? Umpires show up. Are they going to have six or seven umpires show up? So if the umpires show up and two of them have a high fever, can't ump, do we have a contingency plan? How are you going to put all this in place? And that's why the MMA, although it was successfully pulled off, even though one of their fighters came down and tested positive for coronavirus, even though I'm not, and I always have to say, I'm not the biggest Dana White fan. I think this was a Dana White's going to show you what Dana White can do type thing. And how is it safe for guys to be in a combat sport killing each other when there's a coronavirus going around, when they're going to be, you know, sharing blood and all that. I got it. But even in saying that, you're testing two people. One person's out, they're done. So if you have that same situation in baseball, who's out? There's someone. This is a question I'm going to ask my man, the one and only CJ Holmes. We got him coming up, and we're bringing him on in exactly 15 seconds.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line right now, my main man, this is my dude right here. He writes for The Athletic, and this is how you know I have respect for this brother. He's covering the Wildcats down at U of A. I have a strict rule that you can't even mention U of A on this show, and I just did it because this is my man, CJ. What's up, bro? How you doing?
Paul, how you doing, brother?
What's going on, my man? How you feeling today?
Feeling good, man. Feeling good. Just working on a little project, enjoying the sunshine, just trying to power through the rest of this quarantine, man, just like everybody else.
Well, you do have one upside. You're in Tucson, so there's not much to get out to anyway, so don't worry about it.
True that.
So, look, so says an ASU alum, right? We always get our little, you know, we got to get our little shots in at Tucson when we can.
Hey, man, right now, ASU is all the bragging rights, man. Arizona, they got to step up, man. Both football, basketball, the sports that I cover, man, they got to step up.
You know what? Off the top of my head, I wasn't even going to bring this up, but I noticed that Nico Mannion is going pro. Is he a first-round pick?
I mean, just like based on potential alone, I mean, he's got to be a first-round pick. I mean, the kid didn't necessarily have a freshman season that would wow you on par with some of these point guards you've seen go in the lottery in the past, but, I mean, the talent's definitely there. You saw his ability to, you know, play with pace, control the offense, you know, make the right passes, read the floor. You know, he struggled shooting, his outside shooting, but, you know, you can only imagine, you know, on an NBA stage with NBA spacing, NBA finishers, the floor would be spaced out more. And, you know, shooting's the strongest asset, in my opinion. So, you know, hopefully that would improve at the next level. But, you know, as you look at it right now, just considering the fact that the kid's 18 years old and has all these skills already, I mean, I can't envision him falling out of the first round. You know, even though you got guys like Peyton Pritchard, a senior at Oregon, coming out who have shown that, you know, they're much more advanced at this stage in his career. If you were to stack those two guys up for a Team USA trial, I think Peyton Pritchard, you know, gets the starting role 9 times out of 10 just because he's been through those battles, he's been through the fire, and he's just overall more experienced. But, you know, if Nico, you know, sky's the limit, the potential's certainly there. We're just going to have to wait and see if he can put it all together.
So I want to ask you about The Last Dance, but I want to ask you this question first, or and get your opinion on it, rather. I don't think there should be an NBA draft. I think that's old and antiquated. I think what they should do is have a rookie cap based on your team's current salary cap. And every guy that wants to come out should basically be able to sign anywhere that they want. But they're going to be paid based on what cap level that team has. So, for example, if you are, you know, a great player and you're coming out, you're obviously not going to be able to sign with the Lakers unless you want to take $200,000 because they're going to have no cap money to pay you, because then you're really opening it up to a free market, because I think the draft is only is really the way that the NBA can showcase themselves to make more money, to mythically say we're keeping some type of balance in the NBA when they're really not. Because if you look at who's won a title over the last 40 years, there's six teams. So I think there should be no draft at all, and everyone should just be a free agent. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, Paul, that's certainly an interesting idea. It's one I haven't really thought of before, and it would certainly put these college guys on an even playing field with these high school guys coming out, you know, kind of making it so, I mean, they don't have to play the college game at all or have to, you know, go the G League route or things of that nature. But, you know, it's certainly a good idea. That'll certainly come with its own challenges. I can't really see the NBA straying away from the current draft format. It's just the way things have always been done. And, you know, that'd be a huge change for players that, you know, both players in the league would have to adjust to. But, you know, it's certainly a good idea. You know, maybe you should pitch that to the league offices.
Yeah, you know, I haven't talked to them lately because they keep hanging up on me. But I keep trying to get it out there. I mean, I understand the revenue that the draft drives, and I understand that you have guaranteed guys going to teams and the hype and the talk and all that. But I've always said if these guys can come out and pick and choose what they want, and if I'm really that good and I say, hey, you know what, I want to go play with LeBron, but I got to take $200,000 to do it as a rookie, or I can go play in Detroit where they're not under any cap restriction, I'll just use them as an example, and get paid more money right off the bat, maybe that's the route I go and get my money guaranteed for. So I just, you know, thought maybe it would be a different thought process, a different way of doing it and having real, true free market. But then again, why have free market? Last Dance. I know you've been watching. I know Kerry Lackey Longline with me is my main man, CJ Holmes, writer for The Athletic, who covers Wildcat Sports down at University of Arizona. I know you've been watching. What have your thoughts been, not just the last two episodes, but what are you seeing or rather learning or not knowing or confirming about Michael Jordan that really is catching your attention?
You know, over the years, you know, Michael Jordan's career has been heavily documented in the media, and, you know, there isn't too much new information that's been presented on this in this Last Dance documentary. But for a guy like me who didn't necessarily grow up in the Jordan era, it's been cool to see all that information, you know, tightly packed into one place. You know, it's been great, man. I mean, Michael Jordan's one of the best to ever do it, and, you know, see his story and how it played out, you know, it's so interesting, and, you know, it's really been capturing in my eyes, you know, all the struggles he had to go through with the death of his father, dealing with the media, you know, having to handle all the expectations of that come with being the best player in the world, and just see his competitive drive and, you know, how he handled it all. It's been really good to see. You know, his documentary has definitely been great in terms of passing the time, you know, especially in this time, you know, without sports, having to fall back on, you know, this documentary full of nostalgia. It's been cool to see.
You know, I know that there wasn't social media back then, obviously, because everything now is social media-based, driven. It's all over the place. But I can't think of one athlete, and I've been doing this sports thing now for a while. I can't think of one athlete that has zero freedom to do anything the way he had, and that was before social media. And to know that no matter where you go, no matter what you do, they showed him in the Olympics, how it was almost like a rock concert, how people showed up, how they showed up at games. Can you think of any athlete that goes through that much now, even in this age of social media?
You know, I really can. I'm thinking of guys like, you know, off the top of my head, like Cristiano Ronaldo and, you know, LeBron James in his early days when he was first coming into the league. You know, even then, none of them have really been able to reciprocate the amount of global attention that Michael Jordan drew throughout his career. And, you know, a perfect example of that would just be, you know, what they were showing in The Last Dance last night when Jordan retired. I mean, just to see, you know, a bunch of people just stopping in the streets, trying to find the closest TV they could find to hear the news, and the emotion on people's faces, crying. And, I mean, you would think someone, you know, there was just a global catastrophe or something of that nature. And it's just a testament to how much Jordan meant to the game of basketball and how invested, you know, his fans and following were in him. And, you know, you bring up social media, right? You know, like, you know, what if social media was around then, back then? It definitely would have created more problems for Jordan. I mean, when they show those clips of, you know, Jordan practice and the way he was talking to his teammates, you know, you fast forward to, you know, modern times, and, you know, you see a guy like Jimmy Butler, you know, he was vilified for that kind of behavior. So it's good that Jordan didn't have to deal with that obstacle in his career. But it was a career full of overcoming constant obstacles, and it's you see how it all played out, man. He's one of the best to ever do it.
CJ, maybe I'm just old. I don't know if I'm old school. Maybe I'm just getting old. But that type of stuff to me almost seemed normal. And I almost chuckled sometimes because in pickup games when I was growing up or playing for, you know, playing team ball growing up, the best player on the team that really took it that way was always hard on everybody, or they were always the hardest, or they always pushed you the most. And saying that, have I become old guy get off my lawn? Because I think that just because there's social media, that shouldn't make you soft where you're afraid to say anything or to push people. Am I now old man get off my lawn?
I don't think so, man. In many ways, you know, the game's kind of gotten softer these days. I mean, you need guys like Michael Jordan on your team, guys who hold you to that high standard of excellence. Preferably, you want a couple of guys like Jordan on your team. You know, not in terms of skill. No one's going to be a Michael Jordan in that aspect, but that in terms of pushing players to be better, you always need guys like that on your roster. Those who, you know, aren't around the game, those who don't play basketball will watch that documentary and look at Jordan's behavior and be like, man, he was a bad teammate. Even his teammates at the time said, yeah, I mean, he was a jerk back then. But it's necessary. It's necessary. And even looking back on it, some of his teammates be like, man, like, I'm thankful he pushed us like that because, you know, without it, we wouldn't have been able to accomplish what we did as a team. So, I mean, behavior like that, you know, it may be outlandish at times. It may make you uncomfortable. You definitely don't want it to get to the point where it's physical like it got with Steve Kerr. But you need that. You need that. You need guys to push you to be great. And, you know, Jordan was one of the best in that department.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line here on the Cave Show with PLR, the one and only CJ Holmes. Here's what I thought was funny. And I'm listening to it. And I'm watching the uncut version. And I've had my eldest son who wants to be a basketball player, you know, he's watched a lot of it with me too. And I've watched the uncut and I said, hey, you know, pretty much there's going to be some stuff said. And my young son pops in every now and then, but I don't want to mislead kids today either. Why is there this, oh my God, they're going to say something. Do people really think that NBA players don't cuss? Do they think like in locker rooms, it's all, hey, Billy, how was your day today? Oh, it was swell. Thank you. What do they think, CJ? Why is there this, oh, my God, Michael Jordan cusses? Okay, why is that a big deal?
You know, it shouldn't be a big deal. And, you know, people that believe that everything that goes on in an NBA locker room is all, you know, peaches and roses, you know, they're misled. You know, these guys are grown men. They're in a competitive environment. And, you know, sometimes tempers flare. You know, sometimes you need to use that language to kind of light a fire under your teammates. I mean, it's normal. It's normal at the NBA level. It's normal at the college level. I mean, it should be normal at the high school level. You know, growing up, we're always taught to use tasteful language and to, you know, not speak to people in that manner. But, you know, sometimes it's necessary. Sometimes it has to be done.
You know, it's funny because when I look at this Last Dance, I think back to some Taskmasters, and not every Taskmaster was the person you want to be around. But when you look back to some of the most successful people, maybe it wasn't the language, maybe it wasn't that, but the John Woodens or the Bill Belichicks or the Big Tuna, those guys as coaches, they didn't take nonsense from you. Krzyzewski and Duke, I don't know if people are aware of, they put him on this big mountain pedestal so high. But when you look at him at timeouts, when things aren't going the way he's coaching it, he's letting you have it. And those words aren't exactly, yo, son, I really need you to do better this time. I think people are trying to take reality out of the sport when they think this is a hug it out game. It's not, and I'm not just talking basketball. Football's the same way, baseball's the same way. You've been in all these clubhouses. Guys get pushed, and sometimes they get pushed with grown up words. And honestly,
no, neither do I. Like I said, it's necessary. And, you know, like Jordan said on the documentary yesterday, I think he said something on the lines of, you know, if you're not ready to be in the trenches, then you're not going to be ready for the war when it comes. He said something along those lines. And there's a lot of truth to that. Now, these guys out here on the court, these guys out here on the field, when you're in these competitive environments, you know, they're not helping you up when you fall. They're not, you know, can you please, they're not moving out the way when you're trying to go in the lane and dunk the basketball. They're competing at the highest level. Tempers flare. These are things that happen. It's just a natural part of the game. And, you know, people really shouldn't expect otherwise. It's just how it is.
Do you think basketball is coming back this year?
I hope so, man. I really hope so. It's been, although this would be around the same time that I would be in the off season as a college writer, I mean, it's tough that we didn't get to see the NCAA tournament. It's tough that we haven't seen the NBA playoffs, although they're trying to put together a plan to bring the, bring the season back. You know, first and foremost, you know, it all comes down to global safety. I mean, if they can find a way to get it done without putting, you know, society in harm's way, then, you know, I'm all for it. But, you know, at the same time, if it can't be done safely, then sports are going to have to wait. Now, at the end of the day, it's all about making sure, you know, people are healthy, making sure we're all bouncing back from this pandemic. And, you know, sports at the end of the day, although, you know, there are a lot of people, including, you know, you and myself, who make a living, you know, off of sports, they're just a game. They're just a game. You know, the games can wait. We just have to get everyone back healthy. And when that happens, the games will continue. Will that happen this year? I'm not sure. You know, they're talking about reopening. You know, down here in Tucson, they're starting to reopen dining establishments now, and I'm sure they're beginning to do the same up there in Phoenix where you are. But, you know, every time you go on Twitter or turn on the news, it just looks like nothing is really improving. Honestly, you don't really know what to believe, you know. You see a set of numbers on, you know, new cases and new deaths, and then you see another person say, oh, these numbers aren't accurate. You really don't know what to believe. All I believe is that, you know, right now, there's no place for sports until everyone's healthy. When everyone's healthy, sports will be back.
You know, I watched the MMA do their thing this weekend, and they pulled it off, and Dana White's going to take his victory lap. And I don't know if you heard me say it. I'm not the biggest Dana White. They pulled it off, but they had a fighter who did test positive. Now, here's what I think the biggest difference is in a team sport. On a fight card, you had six other fights. Someone comes down with coronavirus, everyone tests positive. You pull them off the card, everything else goes off fine. But if you have a game and it's, I don't know, the Lakers versus the Clippers, and Kawhi and Paul George comes down, do you play that game? Do you still run out the people that are there? If it's the playoffs, can you say, hey, wait a second, we can't send these guys out if we don't have our guns on a team, because now we have, it's not an injury, it's not an ankle turn. We really do have a competitive imbalance. And that's why I think it's different, because you got to have all the players tested. What if the coach comes down before the game? Are you going to take temps on all the coaches, all of them, all the media that's there, all the referees that's there? Are you going to come with five refs in case two have coronavirus? So I'm with you. I think they really have to get more of a handle on it before they can bring it back. And that's why I honestly think they should call the season and start fresh.
Yeah, man. Therein lies the problem, right? You know, it only takes one player to test positive in any of these leagues for, you know, all the hysteria to start up again. That's what I'm saying, man. If it can't be done the right way, then it shouldn't be done at all.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, and I'm going to let you go. When you're watching The Last Dance, knowing that Mike is a Q, do you get that extra sense of yeah, that's my frat. That's my frat brother right there. You tapping people on the elbow, say, yeah, that's my frat brother right there.
Oh, no doubt about it, man. I wish, you know, I wish on a national scale Mike was more involved with the fraternity, but, you know, to see the best basketball player who ever lived to, you know, be sporting those letters on his chest and, you know, those throwback photos and the know, you know, he's rocking with the purple and gold, man. It definitely means a lot, man. It's really cool to see.
Yeah, man, and some of those old photos, he definitely had his Q pose on. And I don't know, you know, he stopped doing that the more the deeper in the league he got. But every time I see that, I'm like, well, I always get a text from one of your old head brothers and reminding me, hey, you know, Mike is a Q, right? I'm like, man, if you don't stop texting me and you going to have an issue. So,
you know, I was just saying it's funny because, you know, like growing up, Kobe Bryant tried to emulate everything Jordan did. And because Jordan was a Q, you know, back when Kobe was at Lower Merion, he threw up the hooks. But not really, I don't think he really understood what that meant, you know. In some places in this country, man, you throw up them hooks without earning it, it could lead to some problems. But, you know, Kobe's Kobe, so I guess I'll let him get away with it.
Well, you know, it's funny because – I know there are guys that, you know, we tap each other and say, oh, man, that dude's a Q or that dude's an alpha. There's a kappa, there's a sigma. I've yet to ever get a tap and say, yo, what is an iota? So I'm still waiting for that Bigfoot that no one has ever seen to pop out of the woodwork and really see if there is one out there.
Man, I still don't know what an iota is, man. I respect their organization. They do what they do, man. But, you know, they're playing catch-up as far as I'm concerned.
You said it, not me. So I'm always a good friend of mine. She writes for Sports Illustrated. She says I'm mean to iota, and I say I can't be mean to something that don't exist. So that's been my take forever. Hey, listen, we missed each other last time you were up here. I don't know how that happened because we were covering the same thing. But when all this stuff is done, next time you're up this way, man, got to swing by the house. And we'll do a home cooked meal for you here, bro.
Of course, man. Looking forward to getting back up there, man, and linking and, you know, having good times like we always have.
Good thing, man. Yo, I appreciate you, bro. I really do, and look forward to that project. Tell everyone how they can keep up with you, keep up with your writing and all that, because I see you're a big time TV star now down in Tucson. I don't think I missed that.
Not even, man. Just trying to be double jointed and add some different things to the resume. But if everyone listening, you can find me on theathletic.com, you know, best long-form journalism on the internet. We got a free 90-day trial going, so check us out.
No, bro, I appreciate it. We'll talk soon, of course.
Hey, man, thanks for having me.
All right, CJ. Yo, one of the best young writers you're going to find. Make sure you're checking that brother out, CJ Holmes of The Athletic. Phone lines are open. We're going to take a couple calls, but let's step away for 30 seconds. As soon as we come back, I promise you we're going to take calls. The line's open. I have callers waiting.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. I promise you, open lines. We'll wrap up everything that CJ said. We'll get that all wrapped up and bring that back up. And again, like I said, I still want to talk a little bit of how MMA doesn't necessarily mean team sports work. We did a little bit here with CJ Holmes, and we'll wrap that up pretty soon. But like I said, these phone lines are open, 917-889-7828. Let's hop right in here on the Cave Show with PLR. Thank you for your patience. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Lou, my friend. What's up, buddy?
All right. Well, I did see some of that UFC fights on Saturday, not the main one, but I did see a couple, and I'll give you one word for it. Absolutely brutal. I saw like the last of the main fights on ESPN, well, before the main fight, that is.
What'd you think, though? I mean, it was pulled off. No, you didn't, Mike.
Yeah, it was pulled off, which, you know, I was suspicious about that because you had a fighter that came down contracted with the coronavirus. So
correct.
I was thinking, well, there goes that plan because, you know, now others can get affected by it, but they still went on with it. I don't know if you can call it courage, or absolute stupidity.
See, so here's what I was thinking. Because you have a card in MMA and you would have a card in boxing, you're going to have, you know, 4 or 5 fights, 6 or 7 fights, whatever. If one, as long as it's not the headline person, or maybe you do co-headline fights, if one fight comes off, you can still put this on. But let's just take a football game, and I used baseball as the example before. But let's use football. You're going to have all 53 people tested, and they all have to come out positive. The coaches all have to be tested. And in football, it's not like hoops where you got 4 or 5 coaches. You've got a ton of coaches. You got a guy that just holds the wire for the coach or the microphone, or there's a couple coaches that has the guy to grab him to bring him back on the field if he gets too far, you know, bring him back off the field if he gets too far on the field. You have to have a lot of people tested and ready. And I just don't see how they're going to be able to do that right now. I'm not saying it can't be done. And
no.
For the regular season, Lou, it may even be possible. They may be possible to pull that off. But when the playoffs start, what happens if Tom Brady comes down with, you know, a high fever coronavirus? Is he now out for the playoffs? I mean, how do you pull that off? So I think that's where my question lies.
Okay, but the thing I have for baseball as well, because, you know, you still got to probably test all them too.
But, and that's my point. Are you going to have now a roster? And I know the MLB owners had a conference call today, and that's my concern there. Are you going to carry 30 guys, 40 guys, 50 guys? Here's a question no one's brought up. If, say, you start the season in July and you play 82 games, and say you expand the roster to 45, 50 people, will there be no trades? Will your team be your team? Will it be the first time ever you know the team you have is the team you have?
Yeah, I think so. I think there are trades off.
Yeah, if there are trades, do you get quarantined? Can you cut a guy? If a guy isn't performing, can you cut him? Will you suspend people? I mean, there's so many questions that have to be answered. And I just think it's tough. What cities do you play in? If you can't play in Chicago or New York, which are major markets, now everyone says, well, if there's no fans, what difference does it make? Well, if you're selling advertisement, it makes a big difference. So how do you balance that money off? There's so much that has to be taken into context. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, neither do I.
Now, I hope they work it out. I do. I hope they work it out because we all want sports back. Hell, I miss covering sports. I just don't know how you can – how do you make that work? Do you bring 7 umpires to the game in case 2 come down with a high fever when they're being checked? Like, what do you do?
The question is, how many you think you'll need?
Exactly. So just curious to see. That's why I think an individual sport is going to be a lot different than pulling it off with the team sport.
Yeah. And so why do you think how UFC was able to pull it off then?
Well, they did a lot of different things. I don't know if you heard a lot of stuff they did. Like, for example, they had every press member tested, and they had their own room. They had separate microphones for everybody. No one touched the same mic twice. They did a lot of things. Everyone on a bus rode together. They had a designated person for that. I mean, they did a really good job of pulling it off, and I get that. And they did separate rooms. Like, the media room was completely separate. You know, everyone stayed at the same hotel. Everyone got tested before they left the hotel. They got their fever taken again when they got to the arena. They did a lot of stuff to put on this one event. Now, here's my question. You did that for one event. Baseball is going to have to do that every single game. And how will it look? As much as we want sports back, are we saying that baseball players should go through that many tests? Say there's 50 players on a team. Say the roster gets expanded to 50. You're then, after the managers, the media, the ownership, the players, You're going to say that baseball should take for a game almost 200 tests a game just to be able to play when there are people out here that can't even get a test. You're going to justify that? And how do you justify that?
I was going to say that.
So I think a lot of stuff has to be talked about. And think about it. If you're doing 100 and a little over 100 for baseball, you're talking about 400 or 500 a game for football. So we'll see. Will they have to get tested in football? Will you have to get tested before you practice? Because what if you get tested on Sunday and you're fine? You go home, you get it, you come back to practice, you infect everyone all week. So how do they do it? Now, honestly, Lou, I don't like talking politics on this show at all because we're not a political show.
Right.
We're not CNN. We're not Fox. But I will say this. If anyone is really listening, everyone can see we're headed towards herd immunity, whereas basically the strong will survive this. And it's becoming obvious. So at what point will this country just say, you know what, we're just going to go for it. If we get it, you get it. If you don't get it, you don't get it. If you do get it, we're going to do everything we can do to get you safe and get
right.
you healthy. But we can't guarantee you're not going to get it. And if we can't guarantee that, then we can't put the country on hold anymore. We just got to go for it with sports. And when I say put the country on hold, I don't mean restaurants, bars, and all that. I mean we can't put sports on hold anymore. There's too many billionaires that want their money.
Right.
So we shall see.
Yeah. Hopefully everything else can open up too.
Yeah. Well,
I'd
you
like
know,
to see that.
I live in Arizona. We opened up restaurants today.
Yeah.
But you know, I know where you are, it's a lot different. I know in New York, in New Jersey, it's a lot different. But we have restaurants, salons, tattoos. Our golf course is never closed. So we have pretty much everything open except gyms and bars.
Yeah, well, and, you know, with Memorial Day weekend coming up, you know, that could also be a damper, too.
Yeah. Yep.
That's really going to hurt.
So that's what's going on, my friend.
All right. Then we'll talk again tomorrow. Oh, by the way, and
all right,
buddy. you did catch the NFL schedule, right? I mean, you know, what a schedule. But we'll talk more on that later.
Yeah. No doubt, my friend. Hey, have a good rest of your Monday.
Thanks,
all right. Thank you, Lou. There's so much stuff that goes on that you got to try to figure out. How are we going to make all of this work? How are we going to tie all this stuff and make it work? It's going to be tough. It's going to be incredibly tough. So I'm anxious to see. I'm really anxious. I mean, I never thought that I like sports. Not that I like sports. Let me rephrase that because that was dumb. I never realized how much sports took a certain amount of space in my life. And I know I cover sports, but I mean, just when you're sitting home, there's only so many replays you can watch. I find myself enjoying more games for teams that I don't know the outcome. So if I'm watching an old basketball game, I don't want to watch a game that had Jordan versus so and so. I like watching the old Oscar Robertson's Will, Cassie Campy Russell. I like watching those games just because you don't know. You don't remember the outcome. I know today they're showing a game on the NBA Network, probably one of the best games I've seen. I remember seeing the Trailblazers and the Phoenix Suns. Trailblazers won in double overtime and in the semifinals. And what proved to be the highest scoring playoff game, the score was 153 to 151 or 152 or something like that. And that was you know, that series is really what a lot of people don't know, what brought Charles Barkley out here. Because the Suns made, someone on the Suns made a comment, we really need a Charles Barkley type. Well, they went out and got Charles Barkley. Because they were good, they just weren't good enough to get over that hump. But even something like that, as cool as I think it is, it's like you want to see certain things. Where you don't know the outcome. Now, I want to watch a baseball game, a regular season baseball game from like 1984. With the Expos, something I don't know the outcome to. You know, I'm tired of seeing Major League and Major League 2 on the Major League Baseball Network. I want to see baseball. But I don't want to see anything at the cost of someone's health. And I'm just really anxious to see how they figure out how they're going to do this. You know, if you ever miss us here while we're on live, you can always check us out on the replay at 3 o'clock over at KSRN. You can be checking out KSRN anyway. Just turn it on, tune it in, be ready to go. But you can definitely catch the Cave Show every day at 3 o'clock, KSRN. Download the app for sure. At the Sports Cave on the Twitter, the Instagram, the Facebook, Cave is with the K, sportscave.com. Cave is with the K. And you can get me directly on the Twitter at PLR on sports. Everyone be safe. We have a loaded guest list just like we did last week. Kick it off today with my main man, CJ Holmes. Listen, get The Athletic. Check him out. Like I said, incredible writer, up and coming. Actually, he's up and coming. He's here. So basically, check him out on The Athletic. He covers the U of A Wildcats. Lot of good stuff. When he tells you he's working on a project, read his other stuff, but wait for that because it's going to be good and it's going to be big. Thank you for coming on today. And like I said, the rest of the week, we're going to bring them to you one after the other. And we're not going to stop. We never have. So we're not going to stop. All calls with me is via the Kerry Lackey Law Line. And we are definitely thankful that we can come back at you this week. Some good news, within the next couple weeks, as soon as we get the okay, we will go back to Cigars with the Cave Show on Thursdays. Again, we will be practicing safe social distancing from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. So until tomorrow, thank you for joining us here on the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Everyone have a great rest of your Monday. Enjoy, take care of each other, respect each other, respect everyone. The way they feel about their rights and their safety. Good day, y'all.